first, the near post. Get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first, if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. My name is Eamon Flanagan. With me in the studio is Aaron Walker. How are you, Aaron?
Not too bad, Eamon. How are you?
Good to have you here. And also alongside me is Nick Amies. Nick, welcome again.
Thank you.
We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network and, of course, the big A-League. It's a big season. We've waited a long time, over 200 days, and we are back. And what a great weekend it was indeed. I'm just going to throw out, we normally start the show with a whole leaf of people gone, but before we get there, just a very quick one I'm going to throw to the lads. Football's back, and what was your favourite game on the weekend, Aaron?
I like the game with all the goals. Give me the Newcastle Jets 3-2 win.
Oh, I would have to say Sydney-Melbourne, just the atmosphere. Excellent goalkeeping as well. It was pretty good.
Favourite moment of the weekend, Aaron?
Moment. I like seeing Bridge get sent off after Vargas charged at him. He had such an angry look to his face. I loved it.
Pretty much any of Matt Ryan's saves against Brisbane Roar.
Of course, Nick is mostly from the coast here. Favourite player of the weekend, Aaron?
I like the new Canadian guy that Brisbane Roar brought in. I mean, Matt McKay, big shoes to fill. Is he Nakajima for Ram, or is he making chicken for Nan? Great player.
Great player. And yourself?
Nick? I was quite impressed by Andrezinho from Perth Glory. The Brazilians are a bit hit and miss, but this one I think is going to be a good one.
And your favourite team performance on the weekend, Aaron?
Brisbane again. The stone keeps rolling for them.
I think it was an impressive effort from Wellington Phoenix until, you know, half the team went off injured and they lost it. But, yeah.
I hear they've only got 11 fit players for next week.
Yeah, well, they had three go off injured. Mark Paston was battling a knock towards the end of the game.
And Pantelis has already stuffed.
Yeah,
Okay, so plenty to talk about with the league just 1 week old. You can catch it, email flanagan.eamon@gmail.com or catch the podcast on the blog, nearpost.blogspot.com, and, of course, on iTunes, streamed on 2xfm.org.au. Dedicate the show every week this week. We're going to dedicate it to, well, we're going to have, anybody can dedicate it, but I'm going to dedicate it to the player, a player that excited me, maybe yourself, Aaron, Nick, you might want to throw somebody in there, but Marcus Rojas, I think he's going to have a great season, got a bit of flair. We'll have a chat about him, so he got me out of my seat, so we'll dedicate the show to him. The quiz question this week, Socceroos are moving on, Australia's moving on, they're playing no man, and this show goes to air on Wednesday night in some parts of Australia, so we will not say too much about the Socceroos Oman game, other than say the last time we played Oman was in 2009. We beat them 1-0 at home in front of 20,000 people in an Asian Cup qualifier. Can you name four players who started that game who could start tomorrow night? There's just four players who started that game who possibly could start tomrow. Or tonight,
if you are testing me. I told you, you've got to send me these questions ahead of time, but I'll go with Luke Wilkshire to shoot for one.
Luke Wilkshire, he's a defo, yep.
I'm going to say Lucas Neal.
Lucas Neal, two.
How about Kennedy?
Josh Kennedy, three. That's pretty good, guys. And that leaves us just one other player.
Valeri?
Carl Valeri. That's why you guys are the experts. Well done. Okay. The other players who started at the in 2009 were Schwarzer, Craig Moore, Timmy Cahill, Miller Yen, that came on in the 90th. So Jason Kalina, Brett Emerton, Harry Kuehl, David Carney came on, Scott Chipperfield, Dario Vidicic came on. So big changes, and that was probably our full team, if you like, back in 2009, just 2 years ago, almost 2 years to the day. Massive changes. So we'll have a little chat about the change in Socceroos in a moment. But we're going to start with the A-League, and of course, round one, the games, the players, you name it. We'll start with, I suppose, the champions, Brisbane Roar versus the Central Coast Mariners. Nick, your team, I know you weren't... Yes, you can hear it in the sigh.
The bogey team for us, Brisbane Roar, can't get it over him. I don't know why, but yeah, it was a bit disappointing. But with Mr. Firmini and Bernie Abini not playing, I don't know. Yeah, it was a bit average. But once that Brisbane Roar machine got rolling, they were just a class apart. I mean, the first 20 minutes we matched it with them, had our chances, but then the passing game took us over. Great finish by Mitch Nichols. I'd have to say he played an excellent game.
I watched the Fox. They've got a new thing on Fox Sports called the Fox Field. I don't know if you've seen it. And Andy Harper was
analysing the Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, and it was interesting because obviously last year they showed how the Mariners, particularly in the final and the semi-finals, kind of took it up to the Brisbane Roar defence. Whereas this time, Matt Simon and co. all were left Partloo just in front of the back four, and he was allowed to spray his passes, whereas last year they very much focused on putting pressure on him. Didn't happen this year, and there was a suggestion that it was because of the fitness of the Mariners team at this stage of the season, that they wouldn't be able to play the pressing game. I mean, in the first 20 minutes, despite Andy Harper showing that this is how Partlow was spraying and Brisbane were able to spray their passes, that was probably the Mariners' best opportunities as well, I thought, on the break.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
So do you think, Aaron, do you think Arnie got the tactics right for that game, given that it's not the raw team of old, even though they played pretty well?
Well, he played it the same way a European team would play an away game in a European competition, very much sit back and try and hit them on the counter.
And why not? It nearly worked. If we had a bit more pace about us, maybe we could have gotten a goal. But yeah.
And I think key to that was that they've lost not only Perez, but Armani at the moment, so they had no creative
influence. He's out for another 3 weeks, yeah.
So they had to try a different approach, what they normally wouldn't, and nearly pulled off, but Brisbane are a tough nut to crack.
And I think but Brisbane Roar, a few key changes. Obviously, we all enjoyed their flowing football last year. Have they missed anything? Has Postecoglou proven after one game that it really is his system and fitness style, training style of the 64 weeks or whatever, however many weeks it was before the season started?
Well, I think very little gets proven after one game, but obviously the early signs are there.
It was looking pretty good.
Matt McKay really was a box-to-box player, and his presence on the pitch by far outweighed his abilities on it. So that's the kind of player they're looking to replace, either through a new incoming, maybe the Canadian guy, and also guys like Mitch Nichols stepping up and playing a bigger role than they did last year.
We were talking off-air, and Matt McKay is a fantastic athlete. They don't seem to. I mean, Bruce has come inside. Mitch Nichols is playing perhaps further forward. They don't seem to replace that energy of a Matt McKay, but it didn't seem to matter
so much. I think it's just more of a collective increase in intensity.
Not just the energy, but if you look at the moments when Brisbane Roar were really down last season, 2-0 down at half time of the extra time in the grand final. I remember the Melbourne game where he personally got the goal at the end, which snatched it away at Etihad Stadium.
Yeah.
But those big moments when the chips are down, you need a leader to step up and lead the troops by example, and he did that. So not until Brisbane are trailing by a couple of goals and their chips are really, they're back against the wall. Yeah. That's when we're going to see whether they've still got it or not.
That's true. It's early days in the season. And, of course, Mr. Izzy played well on the weekend. How would he go after another 10 or 15 games? And once the heat sets in Australia and the players will be tested, it's easy to play at home on your debut sometimes.
Yes, especially a guy from the Danish Super League. So I don't think they'd get very many warm games over there.
No, although he has played in Canada and Japan, although probably they're not so warm either, are they?
No.
No, okay. So a good start for Brisbane. Mariners, as a Mariners fan, Nick, you've got Wellington this week?
Gold Coast this week.
Oh, Gold Coast this week.
Gold Coast, first time game of the season.
Are you happy with the squad, the Mariners, by the way? Because they brought in plenty of similar sort of standard players, I would say.
Yes, I think with depth-wise, we've probably got one of the better squads in the A-League.
I think he's done well. I think he's brought in some good...
Troy Hierfield and Pellegrino was pretty good. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have the same incisiveness of a Musa Romini or a Perez, but he does the job.
Do you think they're better or worse than last year?
I think they're about the same. I reckon if Urbina gets a few games under his belt and starts going, they'll be a bit better.
See, I'm with you. I think they're about the same as last year, where most other teams, Perth, Sydney, Melbourne, they're all improving.
I think given their budget, I think the Mariners have actually strengthened. They haven't obviously gone out and spent big, but they've, with the players they've brought in, like Pellegrino and Hierfield and
Brad McDonald.
Yeah, I think they're actually a little bit stronger as a squad,
got a younger squad as well, so they're going to get a bit. I mean, obviously, his one strike is the exception there, but Matt Ryan, Bezanic, Griffiths, Amini and Abini, they're all going to get better. Because
and they're also all going to play for the Oli Roux, so that would be the end.
Only Oli Roux in the squad.
You say that so far. There's a lot of games going on the Oli Roux, Okay, so I agree with you, Aaron, as well, that I think the Mariners may struggle as they haven't improved. They might have improved from last year in terms of depth, but other teams are perhaps going beyond them. Now, the Perth Glory, they've won a game, and they're all getting excited in the West.
Paddy isn't here to rub it in our faces.
Well, we only talk about Perth when Paddy's not here. So, and they started well last year, though, as well. Are we convinced this time by the new...
I don't know. I reckon they looked all right, but Shane Smoltz was just woeful. Should have had a hat-trick, I reckon.
Yeah, but at least he's getting the chances. Aaron, what did you think? You only watched five games this weekend.
Yeah, I thought they looked really good. I mean, Adelaide might tip to take the premiership this year.
Yeah.
And through the entire first half, and I'd say majority of the game, they played them off the park.
Oh,
so,
definitely.
So really good signs there.
Adelaide have had a lot of transition. I bet so have Perth. So it was a good to see where they're at in terms of building new partnerships and whatnot. But I think Adelaide had like 8 new players on the pitch.
That's true. But you mentioned Adriazino.
Andrezinho.
Yeah, he played really well. Also, Liam Miller in the middle gave a lot of stability. He's not just a Jacob Burns run around and hack. He had a lot of class to him.
Well, he's a former Celtic player.
He's much better than Wayne
Schroy
in that centre.
Former Man United player.
Played a few times for them. But also the... you mentioned Adelaide had brought in a lot of players, but Perth, you know, Adrazino, Liam Miller, Shane Schmelt, Travis Dodd.
Blondie at the back.
Baz van den...
That's the team.
No. Yeah. Von van den Broek. And then Heffernan's come across as well, I believe, but I don't think he played on the weekend.
I really want to see Pantelides and Jacob Burns in the same midfield. I think that would be just great.
Has he got the gig, Pantelides? I know he was trying out with him.
He's signed.
They signed him, haven't
they? 100% signed, yeah.
I
noticed Ian Ferguson gave a quote where he said, "I think the boy gets a yellow card a lot of the time where it isn't warranted."
That's
I totally
right.
agree.
That's
it should
right.
have been red.
Yeah,
it should
have been. And he should have got it before he was started on the field. That's an interesting that, again, they can afford to bring in a player like that with that sort of experience at this stage when they've already signed a whole heap. So obviously plenty of money around in the West. So Perth, good signs for them. Adelaide... always one of my favourite teams to watch in the A-League, no matter who they've got out. What do you think about the new Adelaide?
Really good. Van Dijk at the peak again. Ian's that slurry they've got on the midfield. Bit of a wild card. Cheap's guy in the Fantasy League. Must have.
Oh, yes. I've signed him.
Someone who I think is going to play a really big role this year, only just came off the bench, is Ian Ramsey. He showed
signs.
He's been fantastic last year, I think, hasn't he? If you can get... a whole season.
But they've got so many good attacking players. It's like the victory. It's just, where's he going to sneak in unless there's injuries? I mean, they've already got Gite and Van Dijk, who I think are so similar, it's hard to play those together.
Gite was playing a lot deeper, which was a bit odd.
But isn't that the benefit of the A-League now that we're finally, instead of, you know, in the past, you go a guy like Ramsey's on the bench, and you think, well, if he comes off the bench, he's still worth watching. Whereas in the past, you know, you might have had a few forwards, and same with Melbourne Victory, you might have had a few forwards, but when the guy came on from the bench, it was like, oh, okay, we're down to that fella now. But now, the quality on the bench of Victory and Adelaide, as you say, they're still exciting players there, and it means the quality of the league.
Big talking point. Vidicic didn't even play in that game. Hopefully next week he'll come back for the Melbourne Victory game.
I expect him to have a huge season, Vidicic. You'd think, like,
24 years of age, still his peak to come.
Lots of energy, lots of pace, lots to prove. I think he could be a great addition. Newcastle Jets and the Heart. Again, Melbourne Heart, I'm expecting big things from them this year. I'm surprised the Jets have got a team good enough to beat them. What do you think?
Yeah, the Jets. Not many people tipping them for much. They're much like the Mariners, they've got a squad that's been together for a long time, so there's a lot of solidarity there. For all their talk of the big billionaire Tinkler taking over, they haven't really signed many players.
They signed Jess Clancy, so
that didn't work out too well. Other than that, they haven't signed anyone. So I think at the moment they're getting by through solidarity. The players know each other, they know their system. I think as the other A-League teams with the new players start to gel, they'll start finding themselves creeping further down the ladder.
They've almost signed 10,000 members, though, with the new which is
excellent.
Fantastic.
They had 12.5 at that game on the weekend, which is probably one of their best crowds ever, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was very impressive.
Okay, we've got a bit of news. It's the biggest opening ground in the history of the A-League, literally, with a total of almost 80,000 fans. 40,000 at Melbourne to see Harry and Brett, possibly overshadowed by Liam Reddy and the Victory new signing Ante Kovac in the 0-0 belter. Ryan Griffiths scored 2 for the managerless Jets, so did Marty Dugandich for the Heart, but Sydney fans would be amazed to see the one that got away, Bjorn. He scored the winner for the Jets, albeit with the help of some glorious deflections and slightly dodgy keeping, I thought, but anyway. James Brown belted an equaliser for the Gold Coast against Wellington in front of a record crowd for a Gold Coast United home game to Wellington Phoenix. See, you can talk anything up. 4,000 people attended that game, whereas normally they only get about 2,000 for that fixture. Perth Glories, Travis Dodd has taken a cheapy swipe at his former club Adelaide United, saying the Reds applied an AFL mentality when it comes to contract negotiations. What he meant was, there, if you're 30 years of age, we don't need you anymore. Billy Mehmet scores on debut for Perth, and the Roar set the standard again, as we discussed, and the A-League is back bigger and better. Brisbane Roar have a new owner, Aaron. 70% is now owned by Indonesian Bakri family. Any thoughts on that, Aaron?
Yeah, there are only a couple of other clubs, one over in Indonesia and another in Belgium, I've heard. So obviously a football-keen family. All the quotes say they're willing to pump some money in, so that sounds good, and leave Ange in control of on-field issues. So good news, and importantly, the first foreign investment into the A-League, which is something which I know Craig Foster doesn't like, but I think should really be valued.
No, Foster doesn't like it. Also, Jeffrey Gold of the Gold Group in Asian Business Football Weekly had some scathing research comments to make about the Bakri family. So not so some problems behind the scenes, but, you know, Tinkler... Palmer, they all seem to come with a bucket full of money, but there's always lots of people.
Look, if I could just put one thing on the table, I don't care how dodgy the background of the people that are holding the money is. I don't care. You just get them in. I mean, Roman Abramovich used to be, I hear, have three business partners in his business. One's in jail, one's dead, and now he's the sole owner. So,
way to go. All right, the more the merrier, the dodgier the better. We want them all. Socceroos down Malaysia 5-0 in Canberra in front of 10,000 fans, including our two esteemed hosts on the other side of the desk. And today, Canberra A-League beat leader Ivan Slavic says the bid is still alive and Canberra is aiming for 2013. The under-19 Matildas lose 2 out of 3 in Asian Cup qualifiers, or World Cup qualifiers, I should say, in the Asian Cup. Defeats to North Korea and Japan 1-0 mean they must win 2 out of the last 2 games against Japan and China and South Korea to finish in the top half of the 16 group. Three teams go through to the World Cup. And all the A-League clubs have new websites, and they are
I'm not keen on them.
And a big improvement, I was going to say, what went before, but Nick, he's not keen on them. Why not, young fella?
It just doesn't look right.
Doesn't look right.
I guess I was just used to the other ones, but so maybe that was on me, but...
Maybe it's those old fellas who like change.
It just didn't look right to me.
Okay, we'll just have a quick chat about the Socceroos. You were at the game last week. They're playing Oman, and for obvious reasons, when the show goes to air, we won't really focus on that. But we will focus on the change coming through of players. Against Oman, we won't be seeing Harry or Brett or Mark or Tim. Marco Bresciano, of course, has gone. So really, we're looking, apart from Lucas and Luke Wilshere, possibly you could say Josh Kennedy, there's nothing much there from the 2006 or 2007 days. How's it going, Aaron? You saw them against Malaysia, the young blood. Oman have always given us a tricky time. They drew 1-1 against Timmy Cahill's goal, late goal in the Asian Cup, and they gave us a couple of tricky ties in the last World Cup. Young blood coming through. If you look at where the boys are playing, there's not many players apart from Holman really playing at that top level.
They are. Oman are good enough to be a banana skin. And this is something I've been saying for a while, where a lot of people disagree with me. We're getting very good results at the moment, but I'm not sure the quality of the players coming through at the moment are the same what we saw 10 years ago.
No.
I mean, if you think about 10 years ago, we had guys like Bresciano and Grella were playing for Parma in the Serie A. Emmerton was killing it over at Feyenoord. Young Timmy Cahill and Lucas Neal, these guys were doing good for some really good clubs and getting solid game time in the best leagues in the world, where we're not now. All our players like Cruz and all these players
playing in second division.
They're all playing in second division.
We've got a lot of guys who could be Timmy Cahill-esque in that, you know, Cruz is where he is, Matthew Lecky is where he is, and Langeret. They could move in 3 or 4 years too.
That's right. And what I put this down to is the gap between the NSL and the A-League. There was a few crucial development years we missed out on, and so we have very few players at the moment in between the age of anywhere like 23 and 27. Very few players. And so the next generation, now that we have the A-League coming, the Youth League and things pushing across, we will start to see an increase, but at the moment I think there's a little bit of a void in between those crucial 23 to 28.
I'm very interested, and we'll reflect on it next week to see how this team, particularly against Oman, goes tonight or last night if you're listening, because it really is a test of, you know, in the past it's been the old established Socceroos who are, you know, played at some of those clubs that Aaron mentioned, who got us through those games, those tough games. And we played Saudi Arabia recently, and I mean, Saudi Arabia were pretty rubbish, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
But it will be interesting to see whether we're at home, so you'd expect to have gotten a result. But will this group of players have what it takes? And
I think ultimately what we want is a core of 11, 12 or 15 players that are getting game time at the best leagues in the world. At the moment, we're not getting that.
I'd argue we've only got...
That's the dream, but...
But it's starting to change. I'm going to argue that Brett Holman is certainly...
playing very well. Up
there. And also Zolo and Serrato, even all playing
and
in...
I guess
if you think they're playing in Eredivisie. Yeah, well...
Right, with Luke Wilshere playing?
Yeah. And Josh Kennedy, top of the Asian scorers. You'd have to say if he's top of the Asian scorers, he's got to be good
all
enough.
Right, yeah.
Certainly good enough for the Asian Cup qualifiers. What about the World Cup on the big stage? I don't know. But we do need there is a gap there, but it'll be interesting to see how the teams go. Now, we've got the second round of the A-League coming up. Fantastic. The football keeps coming. This week are the games. I'm going to start with Adelaide Victory, because to me, Friday night at Hindmarsh, they reckon there's only, I think there's only 1,000 tickets left.
That should be a cracker.
So it should be, it'll be sold out or close to it. And it's always an intense atmosphere down there between those two clubs. How do you think this will go, Aaron?
Look, I'm absolutely looking forward to it. As far as tipping goes, I think if any tipster out there can tell you they've got strong feelings about it, they're not got their head together. I think it's so close. Both teams have magnificent squad. Both teams still coming to full fitness after a long off season. I think it could go absolutely anyway.
Just got to pull you up on the Daniel Allsop, because he did predict this time last week that he would be gone. He's not gone yet. Maybe he should have been after the chance he missed on the weekend.
Not yet. Bit of interest from Wellington there. And the thing is with Danny Allsop is he's very good at pressuring the players, and they want to pressure from the front for the victory, where someone like Solorzano doesn't do that. Probably a better finisher, a better goal scorer, but Allsop at the moment is adding the pressure up the front, which none of their other guys
are. And then plus that combination with Archie Thompson that he has got going. Is probably
they're not a young combination, though.
That's correct.
And if you put Harry in there as well. Carlos is back.
Carlos Hernandez is back.
The game against Cuba was cancelled.
He usually fills the role where Kuehl's been playing. Where are they going to fit him? They're going to have to fit. He can't play anywhere else. Carlos has to play behind strikers, which means Kuehl has to move. I think they'll move Kuehl up front.
Quite possibly.
Instead of Allsop.
Yeah, well, you can't move him out to the left because Rojas is there and he's playing so well.
Well, so
I
many
think
options.
Rojas played out on the right for most of the game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. But there are so many options, and of course, it might suit Victory being away from home.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think there's a lot to be said for a parochial home crowd, and Adelaide have always had that at Hindmarsh.
Yeah, I just think it might give Kuehl and Co a little bit more room if Adelaide will be expected to attack, and with Rojas, Archie Thompson, a bit of pacing behind
I expect goals to be in the game.
Sydney FC versus Brisbane. Now, this is a fantastic test. Sydney came through their first test with flying colours, would you say? I mean, everyone's kind of written them off this season, including Simon Hill, predicted they would come eighth.
Was it eighth? Yeah. I think it was eighth or ninth.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say eighth. And so I think they came through pretty well on the weekend, did you think?
Liam Reddy saved their bacon a little bit there, made some great saves.
About time, after last season.
Yeah, it's they're looking all right, but I think Brisbane Roar will be good enough to beat them. Because I think Melbourne Victory, they were all right in attack, but they're not as cohesive as Brisbane are, and I think Brisbane have just got that extra class to them.
It's going to be a test for the defence. Sydney, I mean, they need a good
new central defensive partnership as
they
well.
They need a good performance, don't they, away, a first up at home.
Yes.
Yeah, they've had a good start down in Melbourne. Brett Emerton, happy with his debut, Aaron?
No,
thought he was rubbish.
A couple of stray passes, under no pressure, straight out of the ground or to one of the Victory members.
No, isn't
didn't,
it?
Didn't do anything but particular. I'm not talking about the penalty miss.
No.
He just didn't do anything of dispute. If he wasn't Brett Emerton, would anyone be talking about him?
But isn't it interesting that, you know, guys come back from the English Premier League where he's been playing and suddenly he's not that, you know, we tend to put our game down a lot, and here he is thrown in, and, you know, okay, they're talking about fitness, but the guy's been pre-season with Blackburn, played a few games, he's missed a couple of weeks, and then he's ready to go again. You'd think he'd be at his peak. He's not able to take the game by storm. You know, you sort of think, well, do we talk our game down, though?
Again, it's just one game. I mean, you can't measure his performance on one game. He didn't have a particularly great game, but I still expect him to bounce back and be a key player this season, Sydney and for the league.
Can he make a big difference, him and Nicky Cole? Do you think you see a better Nicky Cole because of Emerton?
Yes. I think, losing the spotlight a bit, because a lot of pressure got placed on him last season to be the fulcrum of the entire attack.
But and any goals for Sydney this year, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Their strikes aren't fantastic. I don't think that Petrosa.
I don't mind Kazarine, but Mark Bridge looks pretty average.
Bridge is average. That Finnish bloke is average. That Petrosa is fantastic.
You don't like Petrosa?
Oh, he looks alright.
He's not much of
a goal scorer. He's more of a winger, I reckon.
He hasn't had a lot of game time. I think he's pretty dynamic.
I was very impressed by Terry Antonis, though. He looked really good.
We like a bit of Antonis, don't we?
Yes.
Yes. So you see there, I like Antonis, Emerton, Cole. I think there's something to work with there. And if you took Petratus in, I think, you know, maybe again a player off the bench, Petratus, he's got a bit of pace and, you know, because they'd lacked a lot of pace in the past.
Yeah, it's no use having good players on the bench when you don't have good players on the pitch. I think they're a pretty average team.
Good point.
Mariatu is average. McFlynn is average. Jamie Coyne is average.
Interesting, he played him at fullback.
That Michaela is average. These average players. If you look at
what about Kazarine?
Kazarine is good.
Yeah, a good average player.
Yeah.
Well, he does score goals, though.
He does get a few goals.
Yeah.
But so does Danny Allsop. He's also a good player. So is Chris Greenacre, good player.
Yeah.
But that's not. You don't need good players to win the A-League.
Is it interesting? Fozzie always makes the point that eventually coaches sign players that fit their mould or what they like. Now, Vitsleva's been there 3 years now. You still wouldn't say he's got the team that...
No.
Is
Carroll Kissel being brought back? I don't think that's
and
really
he signed the two strikers. He signed Kissel, he signed Emerton, Nicky Cole, he signed the defence. So basically it is now his team.
It is his team. I like the fact that he's picking up a habit of picking up Perth's worst defender each year. First he took Hayden Fox and now he's taken Jamie Coyne.
Yeah, that's a worry. So probably the first coach to be sacked after Branko, of course. Well, I mean, since the season started. I think Vidaslava will be gone if they don't get a good few results together.
Yeah, if they take 10 games to get their first win again, he'll be gone after five.
Zorka Kalic to step in, maybe.
Tony Popovic is doing a decent job there as an assistant as well.
No, he's gone.
He's gone, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Shows
he's gone to
Crystal Palace, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. No, so can't see Zorka sitting quietly on the bench or on the sideline, can you?
No.
Okay, other games this week. The Mariners head to
home throw in there. We've been seeing Zorka sitting quietly on the sideline throughout his entire career, so
good. Boom, boom. That's fair call. Hart v. Perth. So Mariners Gold Coast very quickly from our odd Mariners fan.
I reckon it'll be a 2-0 win.
And the Jets are away to Wellington. That's a great game for the Jets, second up against a team with no players.
Mm. The toughest trip in the A-League.
Yeah.
Or last season it was anyway, and this would be the right time to go.
And if the Jets can get a few points, it could, you know, it can help them down
build
the track.
Some momentum, yeah.
Yeah, particularly
young players, probably very much confident.
Because they haven't signed anybody, and they've got no forwards either. I mean, I know Ryan Griffith's looking okay, but... And the last game is Hart v. Perth. This is going to be an interesting test for both teams.
Perth will win.
I'm not sure. Hart's attack was really good for
that Gramenio guy, the Argentinian.
Gimano?
He was absolute rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
Average. But Fred looked pretty good. For that second Juganic goal, that was beautiful stuff.
He did look like a really good player.
And Juganic, of course, couldn't get game time with the victory.
That was political rather than for ability, I would argue.
Yeah.
Political? What do you mean?
And Merrick just didn't like him.
Did he sign before Merrick left? I guess he must have.
It's always been my understanding in the undertones of things that I've been written that the reason Dugancic wasn't getting game time was not so much that he lacked ability, is that there was inside things at the club that just weren't running his way.
Oh, do we know, can we say a bit more?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, he looked okay, got a couple of goals, and he's got a bit of pace. So the Hart actually have got a bit of a revolution happening as well, haven't they, with... some pace around the field this time.
We talk about coaches which are on the brink of getting the sack. I'll tell you what, John Van Schip, I hear, is on big, big money with big, big expectations.
He's only the highest paid coach in the league.
He's built this squad himself. It's time for him to start getting results.
It is, but he's only the second season. Very difficult, you know.
I don't know. Gold Coast came out and stormed their first into
They did. The Gold Coast, will they be storming anything this year?
Even the Fury made the finals in their first season, didn't they? Or maybe seventh?
No, seventh or ninth, maybe.
They were close, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see. The second week of the O-League is up and about to get running, so next week, Paddy, we'll be back in the chair. Aaron, thanks very much for coming in, and Nick, good luck to the Mariners.
Yeah, thank you.
No worries. Near post, get there first.